Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, webmaster for PetGroomer.com. Today is Sunday, January 10th, 2016. Today we're going to focus on mobile grooming. Very popular out there. And we have with us Tammy Rogers of Paparazzi Mobile. First, let me introduce her to you, some of her background. She's the founder and CEO of Paparazzi Mobile Pet Spa and has over 30 years of grooming experience in salons, animal hospitals, and pet resorts. She's an award winner and pet enthusiast who's decided to take up her passion for grooming on the road, often called the dog whisperer by her clients, coworkers, friends, and family. Tammy is often recognized as the groomer that can groom even the most difficult pets with ease. With her gentle touch and free-spirited smile, she has a way of relating to pets. She's also earned multiple dog show awards and behavioral certifications, and is versed in educating consumers on the benefits and importance of pet foods for proper nutrition and health. Over the last few years, Tammy has been hard at work developing a solid business model that has allowed her to be successful and profitable in mobile grooming. Now she wants to share her proven system with other groomers via a franchise to deliver the same consistent quality of service that people have come to expect from her business. Her business training program will guide you through the processes and every other phase of the business. Your franchise success is her priority. It is her goal to provide the support and services to you with the highest level of honesty, integrity, and professionalism. Tammy takes the partnership formed with each franchisee very serious. She has achieved notoriety and respect in the community with Paparazzi Mobile and will continue as they grow across the country. Paparazzi Mobile Pet Spa is a company that is positioned to do great things, and Tammy is delighted to share that with you. Let me bring her on board with us. I believe this is you, Tammy, is that correct?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, nice to have you with us. First, let me, we have some other callers online. Some people just choose to listen, but if they do have a question, callers that have a question, hit 1 on your keypad. That sends a signal to me that you have a question, and when we find a slot in there to let you ask your question, I'll open your line. I have had people email some questions in for you that can't attend the live show, Tammy, and so we'll get to those questions, and then when we put the recording up, they can go back and listen to your answers.
Oh, certainly. Thanks.
Okay. Let's start off by just getting to know you a little bit better. How many pets do you have?
Let's see. I have 6 dogs. I have 3 Shih Tzus, a pug, a pit bull, and a red Queensland heeler. I also have 7 horses that do a variety of things. Most of them have been used, a lot of them have been used as pack horses, and then I have some pleasure riding horses as well.
That keeps you busy.
Very, very busy.
Yeah, I had 17, well, with my brother, we had 17 Arabs, I know. And we had the heelers, too. Horses,
oh, okay,
and heelers,
yeah.
Those were a combination. I understand that one. Well, tell us about how you got into the pet industry and a little bit more about the animal-related jobs you've had, as well as being a groomer.
Well, when I was 14, I had a very good friend of mine that had learned to groom from a professional poodle breeder. She had taken quite a few classes with her and learned just, you know, the basics on poodle grooming. I had always wanted to groom dogs from, I can't even remember when my parents used to take our poodles in to be groomed. It was something I always wanted to learn how to do, so I had actually asked her if she minded giving me some pointers. And I just kind of started out really grooming poodles, then learned basically by book how to do each particular breed, took some classes. And as I grew and obviously was able to transport myself, you know, went into some shops and volunteered my time, learned how to groom different breeds of dogs, you know, terrier breeds and things like that. And just kind of grew in the industry, mainly self-taught, the majority of it. The only formal training I had actually had at that age was on poodles. And then had actually helped at the the breeder's place, working on her pets to make the grooming obviously better. And then when I was, I think, 21, I actually worked for her. She had actually opened a shop here in the Valley, and I worked for her for a few years. And at the same time, when I had graduated high school, I actually started working also at the racetrack because my passion for horses was pretty great, and I had always wanted to be around horses and had started going out there and wanting to learn from the bottom up on how to be around the racehorses, how to train, how to groom, clean stalls, you name it, and worked my way up in that industry. I became a licensed racehorse trainer when I was 22, which was a goal that I had set for myself, and I trained out there for about 8 years, trying, you know, until I had my kids, and just felt like that kind of lifestyle wasn't really a great lifestyle for small children, so had kind of taken a back seat and continued to pursue my grooming and work for different entities. I worked in a veterinary hospital for 10 years, doing some technician work as well as grooming dogs for a doctor here in the Valley.
So what made you make the next step into focusing on pet grooming?
Well, I've always liked grooming. The working with animals was always a passion for me, and I always liked the challenge. For some reason, I always liked to challenge those hard-to-do dogs that most groomers would recognize. Some people don't welcome those into a shop. I embraced those kind of dogs because I enjoy a challenge, and I like the end result. Actually enjoy working with them and to conquer their fears, try to get to the reason why they may have be having a bad experience, and then to try to rehabilitate them for grooming. So grooming has always been, from the time I was 14 till now, has always kind of been alongside whatever job I've done or any type of training I've done, has always been right alongside it. So I've stayed in the pet industry alongside with other, I guess, part-time type jobs.
Now, what was the origin, that lure that led you to mobile grooming?
Well, in 2007, I had gone through a divorce, and at that time realized, because I was in my 40s, that I had always worked for everyone else. And was encouraged by people because of my experience to go on my own. And a very good friend of mine had encouraged mobile. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things, and I think other groomers might relate to it, was mobile back in the day, back when I was young, mobile was kind of deemed, I don't know how to word it, just very unfavorable. A lot of people kind of turn their nose up at mobile grooming, groomers-wise. And I myself was one of those. I was very skeptical at being mobile. Every type of mobile grooming truck I had ever seen was kind of sketchy. It wasn't real bright, pretty, something that you'd want to come to your house. And when he said mobile, I was like, oh, no way. I don't want to do mobile. I can't do mobile. That's just, you know. And then I, you know, kind of decided after talking with him for some period of time that, and I figured out the logistics of it, that my goal was really not, it was to go mobile, but it was to create an experience for someone. It was to represent something on a much higher level than the traditional vans that I would see. And so that's the reason that I decided at that time to invest an entire 401k into starting my business. Huge risk, had teenage children at the time, and you know, you're starting from scratch. And I had no other, you know, job at the time when I was married. I didn't have to work. I was very fortunate, and I had someone that was the breadwinner. But when you go through a divorce, you realize that that's a very scary thing when somebody takes that away from you, and now you have to look into how are you going to survive, how are you going to finish raising your kids in school, take care of all your animals that you have. And so I took a big leap of faith and invested a lot of money into creating my dream, and it worked. And I felt like if I could do something like that and empower other single women that may be going through the same thing in their life to want to be on their own and to want to have that success, rather than keep it all to myself, I would want to share it with somebody.
So what do you think, because we do have some listeners that are absolute career seekers that listen to the show, as well as our regular groomers with experience. Why don't you go over what, for especially our new career seekers, what are the benefits of mobile pet grooming versus going to a salon?
Okay, well, benefits for mobile is, in my opinion, what I have seen, because I spent many more years in a salon than I did mobile, and my benefits are your freedom, being able to be out and about. I enjoy seeing lots of people. You meet lots of people while you're out versus being in a salon. You're in your little area all day. So being able to have that break in between dogs, you know, we usually have one or two dog stops. We have sometimes frequently somebody who has maybe five or six dogs, and that's pretty much a day's worth of work. And so it's a little bit different. I enjoy a quieter environment. I enjoy that one-on-one that I get to spend with that pet that I get to know, and I never had to feel rushed to get to that next dog or that phone constantly ringing in a salon where, you know, somebody's wanting to, you know, book their next appointment, and, you know, working in the facets of having multiple groomers in the same location. And it's just a quieter environment. Nothing against salon. It's just that's the differences that I noticed when I went mobile. I enjoyed that quieter environment. I felt that the dogs enjoyed a little bit quieter environment. And it's a very short experience for them, because we generally only take, depending on the breed of dog, it generally only takes us 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what kind of dog you're working on and how easy that dog is to handle. But generally speaking, it's a very short-lived experience where they don't have to spend hours. You know, there's just some dogs that just don't handle that well. And they, you know, they get very nervous. Obviously, usually those same nervous dogs have nervous owners. And the owner is a little more less. So I feel that the dog is feeling a little more secure when we do the handoff or we walk the dog to the truck, that they feel like it's a little bit positive, more positive of an experience.
Do you feel that the clientele that uses mobile grooming, you have an advantage that they maybe are more loyal because you are coming to their house rather than choosing from different salons? Once they've got a range and they've made a relationship with you, they're less likely to shop around for another mobile groomer? Is there any truth to that?
You know, I would say yes and no. We developed that same relationship that I believe a salon person does. I think the difference is we are coming to their home, which is you're learning, you know, you're at a person's home. So that reception, that relationship, I think, kind of grows a little bit deeper than when they're coming to an outside location. You're getting, you know, there's a more establishment of trust. We have a lot in my particular business. I don't know about other mobiles, but we offer what we call a latchkey. I kind of call it a latchkey service. Obviously, not everybody's comfortable with that, but we try to, you know, we have people that are never home. I mean, I've met them maybe once or twice, and they have left either a garage code. They have either put their pet, you know, in a, like, towards the front room, like in a small little playpen area to access, and left me with a key to lock up. We've had neighbors come over. So there is definitely a bigger establishment, I feel, of trust that people allow you to come into their home while you're not there, while they're not home, and groom their pet. And when they come home, they enjoy their dog meeting them at the door, freshly groomed, you know, with their next appointment card for their next appointment sitting there ready for them. And they usually leave some form of payment, you know, when we show up. So I do kind of think that to a point, we don't have as many people shopping outside of it, because there is definitely a difference in price range from shop to mobile. And I feel that the people that appreciate mobile understand the difference in price, and they're definitely not necessarily looking for the cheapest way, where sometimes in a salon environment, they might be looking for that $5 off somewhere. And especially if they're not real happy with the place that they're going, they might be more apt to shop around. But with the clientele that I've serviced since starting the business, we're close to 1,000 clients that we have serviced since opening in 2010, and we have a lot of repeat business and people that stay on some form of a schedule year-round.
And so in a typical day, how many pets would you say a mobile groomer grooms?
Well, we start at 8:30 in the morning is our first appointment, and we generally finish our last, you know, take our last appointment around 4:35. Comfortably, I don't ask my girls to, how do I put this? I don't want them to be rushed. I don't want them to work 12, 13 hours a day in a truck. I want them to be happy with their job and do enough dogs to earn a decent living. So I would comfortably say 6 to 8 dogs a day is a good number. I know that there's other places who do 10 dogs a day, 12 dogs a day, but in my industry, there's a lot of groomer burnout, and I don't like to see that. I want people to want to work, to enjoy coming to work, and actually do a really good job on the 6 to 8 dogs that they get a day versus trying to cram in more dogs, maybe not do as great of a job, rush the animals, you know, hurry between appointments, and work extensively longer hours, because, you know, in the end result, it's really the quality of work that we put out versus the quantity.
Okay. Tell me, I've seen some of your vans at your website, and I encourage people to check that, and we'll give all your contact info in a few moments. But I think you probably prefer a van. But what do you tell people that have an interest in mobile grooming when they ask you, hey, Tammy, what is it, mobile or trailer? What do you think, a van or trailer?
I prefer vans. I've never worked in a trailer. I've looked in a few trailers. I've seen some very, very nicely set up trailers. I think I like the all-in-one appearance of just having a van versus a trailer being pulled behind a vehicle. I think these vans in itself they're large. For some people aren't used to driving a vehicle that large. I think pulling a trailer, I've pulled many horse trailers, so this is the reason I say this, a lot of people who would maybe want to start up with a trailer, there's a little bit of a difference when it comes to parking, when it comes to getting yourself around in a very tight area that takes some skills. And backing up a trailer and turning a trailer around in a very tight area could pose to be a little chaotic for some and maybe a little nerve-wracking, especially if they get into like a little apartment complex or something like that. And granted, the trailers are a lot less expensive of a way to go. I just feel, I mean, I trademarked my name, Paparazzi. And I say that because I don't want to represent that we're the cheapest out there, because we're definitely not. We're not necessarily the most expensive, but I want the name to recognize what we bring to the table, what shows up at your door. I want it to look nice. So I sometimes feel like a trailer being maybe less favorable, that the Paparazzi name goes with the van. It just brings it to a little, maybe a little higher level, and that's the reason I chose vans versus trailers.
And so if someone's working with you, is each van sort of customized? I mean, you have a like, probably like this is what we start with, but if I'm working with you and with my partnership with you, I can sort of customize the van along with you as far as extra things I may want, something like that. You sit down and
absolutely.
Go over all that design.
Yes. We work with a specific vendor, and once we form a relationship and we go through the franchise qualification process, we actually you have a vendor that you will work with. And you will definitely customize the interior, your colors, things like that. Because there's obviously lots of add-ons and things that you don't necessarily have to have, but that some people might want. And so we work with a vendor that you work with him primarily by yourself. Obviously, in a franchise, we have specific key colors that we give you to choose from, but then that's your choice. And then, of course, any add-ons, such as different types of dryers, whether you want one dryer or two dryer, whether you choose to use a clipper vac system or not, those are all options, and that's all done privately with the vendor.
I see. And let me go back again for our career seekers here. If I'm a career seeker and I come to you and I say my goal is I'm going to be a groomer, I'm sort of at ground zero now, but could you help them with their schooling, not maybe to teach them to be a groomer, but to help develop that early career plan and let them go to a school perhaps and whatever? What do you do when you get an absolute career seeker that would start with you?
Well, I absolutely love people that are that entrepreneurial spirit. And I encourage that, but I also know that in this industry, and especially, you know, deciding to go in business for yourself, it's so important to have a really good, solid foundation before maybe you take on a commitment such as this, or a commitment such as just even opening up your shop. I really think that there's some basis of groundwork that has to be done. It's like the chef doesn't become a chef because he was never a waiter or the busboy or the hostess. You know, that chef became a chef usually because he kind of worked his way up in the restaurant business. And so that's what I would encourage somebody who really, really, really has that entrepreneurial spirit and wants to be in business for themselves to, yes, I could help them, try to guide them to a great, maybe a place to work, a great grooming skill. I'm a big hands-on, you know, I never went to these per se grooming schools, and I have nothing against them, so I can't say yay or nay with them. But boy, if you can find somebody that could mentor you, that could work alongside and really learn hands-on, that's just an excellent groomer, that would be my biggest encouragement, is to really get your groundwork done with somebody who's, you know, form that relationship and learn from a pro. Schools are great, and they're about 16 weeks long, but when I've interviewed a lot of these girls or guys that have come freshly out of school, they're just not at the level, even the top of the top of the class. I'm like, please don't send anybody to me unless they're one of your star students. I usually, you know, talk to some of the local schools. And even their top of the top are just really not quite at a level for me to turn somebody loose unsupervised in a grooming van just because the skill set's not quite there yet. And so, I think they leave the school with their diplomas and they feel great about it because they've obtained it and they've passed. But there's so much still to learn in the actual field. So that's what I would request. And yes, you know, if we could hook them up with somebody to learn from and let them, to me, we have like a 3-year minimum requirement. And I think that's even pretty lenient in some cases. But I have seen some phenomenal girls that have only been out a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and have just done a fabulous job for me. So they're under that 3-year requirement. And I've interviewed some girls that have been in the field 7 years, and they're just not very good. So I know talent and natural ability has a lot to do with that as well. And some girls just have it, and some, you know, may need to work on it a little bit longer, but. Yeah, I would encourage and you know, help try to guide them so that they can be an independent owner-operator in the future.
Great. Let's turn a little bit back to you, and before we get into more about your program, what are your favorite breeds to groom?
I am a terrier groomer. That's one of my most favorite breeds to groom. I love Schnauzers. West Highland Terriers, Scotties. I always liked that breed. I grew up with Westies, so that's probably why. But I just really feel like they're fun, to me, a very fun little breed to groom. I learned on poodles. I can do an okay poodle. I have seen much better poodle groomers than myself. And I just think we all have our own little specific knack in the industry of what we like to do and what we're the best at or really good at. And my particular breed of dog is the terrier breeds.
Any particular grooming tools and equipment that you found or that you really like for mobile grooming?
Well, I know people probably laugh because I know this has been around a long time. But when I bought my first mobile truck, it had a clipper vac system in it. I had heard, oh my gosh, for years about the clipper vac. And, you know, and I used to think when I was in the salon, I'm like, well, what is that? Who uses that tool? You know, and I think probably because they're kind of expensive, to be honest with you. And so I would never have thought to invest money in it to even want to try it. And I never had worked for a salon that had one in it to try it. So I had this one in my truck for, I bet, almost a year. And honestly, I never touched it. I was scared to death of it. I thought, I can't do this. You know, there's just no way. And I had another mobile groomer here in the valley that I knew she had one. And I'm like, look, I've got this $1,200 piece of equipment in this van, and I'm afraid of it. And I've been grooming a long time, and I don't even want to touch the thing, but I know it's got to work. I've seen videos. I've talked to people. Everybody's like, use it, use it, use it. Well, I finally used it, and oh my gosh, I think that is probably the biggest time saver. You know, most of us groom pet grooms. They're not show quality groomed dogs in mobile. I mean, we don't get too many show people. So the majority of our work is catered to pet grooming. And let me tell you, that is the biggest time saver. Not only does it help you with your longer haired cuts because of different attachment combs and things like that to help save you some time, it cleans up your mess for you, a large portion of your mess for you. And if my thing was ever to break down, I would be lost because I'd have to go back to the old school of combing the dog up and going over it with a comb, you know, comb attachment, and doing that 4, 5, 6 times, scissor, 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 and spend hours upon hours on a dog that, you know, you can really cut a lot of that out because you don't have to go over it as often. To get that same result. So I would say my favorite tool now is my clipper vac system. It has saved me a ton of time and really does a nice finishing job.
Do you find that just because you're working in that enclosed environment's a nice way to help you keep things cleaner between grooms.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, our girls are, you know, that work for me obviously have to vacuum in between appointments. We don't show up at another appointment. But this really does pick up a lot of that hair that you're cutting. You're still going to have your scissoring hair, but it's a really quick half a minute vacuum job when you're finished before you have to go to your next appointment when you are using that clipper vac system. And there's so many tricks to it that it's just not a tool that you use on poodles. I use it on golden retrievers when I'm like skimming the hind end or the belly, or you know, evening out like a neck or collar area and the chest. I mean, you can just blend in seconds with that. Once you learn to use it and you're comfortable with it in your hand, I think that's probably the hardest thing was holding it in my hand the first time, going, okay, how do you hold this thing and manipulate it and move it around? But now it's just so second nature. But I know when I first picked it up, I was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna give it a shot. And probably the first month, I really wasn't sure how I felt about it, but it's a godsend. I actually bought one for the second van, and I would not have a van without one. And every girl that has come to work for me, once they have bought an attachment for their own clipper, they're just like, oh my gosh, that thing's amazing. Everybody loves it.
Great. I'm going to go through some questions that have were emailed to me in the last couple
sure.
of weeks. Anne
sure.
in Phoenix, she wanted to know just how do you go about setting prices for mobile grooming?
I'd like to say when I go about setting my prices, the standard rule of thumb is about $65 an hour. It takes us about an hour to groom a small dog, so our $65 is my base price. Obviously, there's some little dogs that take less. So when I set my pricing, I try to set it as close to what I think it would take in time to set that pricing. So a small dog is $65. You know, golden retriever or something bigger than that, we figure that might take us 75 minutes to do that dog. So we'll start that breed at $75 and so on and so forth. Obviously, some breeds of dogs, unfortunately, not everybody's willing to pay what the actual time frame would be, and so you know they may end up back in a salon to save some money. For the most part, I've tried to use that as my general base, is saying that $65 an hour for a dog under 25 pounds that's in a full haircut would be my base for how I started my pricing.
Okay. I have Larry in Utah asked, when they work as part of your program with you, do you have any minimum amount of, I guess what he's saying, days that they must operate a minimum? Can they choose if they, in other words, if they only want to work, I'll say, 2 or 3 days a week in the franchise, is that okay with you?
Well, you know, to own and operate a franchise, it's really not a part-time job. A franchise is very much, some people really don't really think of, I'm going to use something as simple as McDonald's. McDonald's is a franchise. It's a proven entity that's out there. It's been out there for years, and they have to be open specific amount of days. So, yes, we recommend that you are open at least 5 days a week, and the reason being is because you have to make money to support your business. It's not a 2 to 3 day a week type job. I mean, maybe your availability would only be 2 to 3 days a week. Maybe Larry's availability, but maybe he could find another part-time groomer to operate it the remaining 2 days a week or 3 days a week, depending. Both of my vans operate 6 days a week. We have some part-time groomers, full-time groomers in there. So both vans operate 6 days a week. And I recommend that because you have to be able to support the vehicle. You know, it's an investment in yourself. It's an investment in your van, and you have a monthly payment to be able to pay for at the end of every month. And so 2 to 3 days a week wouldn't be enough as a single operator. I hope I answered his question okay.
Yeah, I think you did. Vivian in California wanted to know how many of your customers have two or more pets?
That's a really good question. I've never really thought about that. I would say, if we can just go off of percentages, where we have a multiple pet stop, I would like to say maybe 30%, 35% would be a multiple pet stop, and the rest would be single dog.
Which saves some driving time in your day. It's nice to have those double or...
Yes, we do enjoy those. Saves a lot of driving time and cuts down on your hours in the day.
Right. And she was also asking, do you ever give multiple pet discounts?
Yes, we do. We do offer a multiple pet discount.
Okay. Let me move on. I've got Francis in New York. And she, again, was asking a bit here on pricing, but wanted to know what if you have a schedule for the day and you get there, this would have to end up being a new customer, here you are, and you get there and the dog is a matted mess. It's going to take at least 30 extra minutes just to de-mat. Isn't that going to blow your schedule? What do you do when something like that happens?
Well, I really work hard on educating our own existing clientele. When we quote somebody a time, we also send all of our email reminders that go out a few days prior, remind them that we may run ahead or behind schedule and to please allow a one-hour window of time in case that happens. One thing I will say since I've been a mobile groomer is those matted dogs, those really badly matted dogs that us groomers kind of cringe when we see, we don't get too many of those because basically mobile grooming is a luxury for most people. It's the same type of people that use mobile grooming that pay for their house to be cleaned, to have a landscaper, somebody that comes in and service, you know, does in-home detailing on their vehicles. They appreciate it, and because they utilize the service industry, most of their pets are kept up. So we don't see a lot of these really matted dogs. Periodically, we will have an incident like that, and it will put us 30 or 40 minutes behind schedule. At that time, when I see that I'm going to be running behind, I will immediately call my next appointment and let them know. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I have a brand new client on the table that is a lot more than what I had blocked out in time. I apologize at that time and let them know that I will be running behind schedule today. And you may make up for that time somewhere on a dog that takes you less time, but then again, you might be making that exact same phone call throughout the entire day as you go through your day. So, you know, most of the clients are pretty understanding because what I've tried to express to a lot of them is we don't rush through a dog just to get on schedule. We give every dog our undivided attention while we're working on them, and if that means we have to demat or deal with a dog with a behavioral issue, we don't push that dog through the system just to stay on time. We believe that everybody pays for their services. Now, that mat charge or that matted dog will pay more because it took us longer. But in the end result, I think people appreciate, you know, being upfront and open and honest about how your day's looking, and that they also appreciate the fact that you're not going to rush through their dog when you show up just so that you can try to get back on schedule.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think that your idea of the one-hour kind of window is very straightforward, and so that's a good idea. Nina in Kentucky is an experienced 3-year experienced cat groomer, and she has been thinking about becoming a mobile cat groomer. Do you have any experience with mobile cat grooming?
Yes, we do groom cats. We are all cat groomers, and I think that is an awesome thing. Without speaking with her, I'd like to know if she grooms dogs as well, because I think mobile cat grooming is a great thing to be able to offer, because cats don't travel well, most cats, and having them in that small environment, like I've said before, it's a little bit quieter, a little bit easier on the cat, and you're in such a small area that it's to me a little bit safer. I mean, in a salon, if a cat gets loose from you for some reason, you've got a lot of places to maybe chase it. In your van, a little smaller area. But I think it's a great service. I think anybody that loves grooming cats, there's a lot of money to be made in grooming cats, I'll tell you that, and she probably already knows that. And even in the mobile industry, a really great thing for her, to consider.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go back to the paparazzi, what you're offering in the franchise. What is someone getting as part of being in a franchise, and what's the training like? And explain your package.
Well, what we're offering is, my biggest thing is a lot of people want to be in business for themselves, but they don't really know where to start. So offering this as a franchise is basically putting kind of creating a package for someone that allows them to be in business for themselves, but not necessarily by themselves, that they would always have a support system behind them to help them with decisions. We kind of have a laid out plan as to what works, what doesn't work. We don't want people to necessarily try to come in and reinvent the wheel. I've already done that. I've already made my mistakes, and I've learned from them, and I know what works and how I've been able to become as successful as I have in the industry and being able to expand. So we offer what we call a turnkey opportunity. We offer training. Training is prior to the launch of your business. Also during, we have support calls that we do once you do launch, that we call it a track to profit call, that we discuss your numbers on a weekly basis to make sure that you're growing. And I compare those to where I was when I launched my business in probably one of the worst economies that you could launch a brand new business in. I like to see people's growth patterns, and then if things for some reason aren't working for them or they're having a difficult time, what do we need to do to fix it? Because honestly, my passion is for them to be successful. I know when they're successful and they're happy, then I will be successful as well in being able to mentor them. And so that program is very a mentorship program, and they're buying into a trademarked name, just like a McDonald's, a Taco Bell, a Subway, something that is bright and bold and is eye-catching. It's the marketing that, and the time that I spent in my marketing was probably the biggest investment, and I feel like that has been one of the biggest keys, to launching the business like I did. Is that a good enough answer? Was there another question for that?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about time wise? Let's look at. I'm going to come in as a franchisee with you. How much time would I have, like, on one-on-one training with you, and how long would it take before I get the van? What are some of the timelines involved from the time I come to you and I'm set up and I'm out there operating?
Well, the vans generally take, depends on our vendor, but usually about 6 weeks for a build-out on a van. We start all that process while we're going through, once we know that a person is definitely in. I mean, obviously by franchise law, there's certain things that we can't disclose legally. And the reason I say that is because we go through a whole entire process. We start with I'll look here really quick to put it in better words. We start with a matching process. And what we do is we start with step one, where we want to get acquainted with the potential franchisee. We actually have a call. Usually if the call goes well and both parties want to move forward, then they send us what we call a request for consideration. And at that time, we receive that, and we decide at that time you know, is this person a good fit? Is this person a good team member with us? Because we're building a team here. And at that point, if we say there, you know, yes, this looks like a really good match, then we start with our next call. And these calls can be, they're usually a one-hour call. They can be a week apart. It just depends on the individual's ability to get on a call. And then the next call is the concept compatibility call. And what we determine is our core values and make sure we align. And then at that point, we move to what we call a mutual expectation call. So we both want to have, you know, a certain expectation on our, you know, our training programs, you know, the level of business expertise. We'll basically then at that point schedule and attend what we call a startup workshop conference call. And that's where we try to figure out, you know, how to find money for somebody if financing's a something that they're going to need to do, how to yield the money that will give them the best tax advantages. We minimize personal collateral and basically how to protect your working capital in our workshop. And then we have our CEO will guide you through the initial franchise fee and other startup costs. So 4 to 15 days prior, we basically at that point send out what we call our franchise disclosure document. And this is for somebody that's gone through everything already, all the calls. We send that, and then they have 15 days to read over that disclosure document. And then we have our next step, which is step 6, is discovery day. And then we have a signing day after that 15 days. So really to launch your business, it can take at least 90 days. It just depends on everybody's different. I mean, you have some people that have liquid capital immediately. We have some people that have great credit but need funding. So it just depends on each individual as to the time frame. But, I mean, it can be done in as little as 90 days, and it can take longer depending on each individual.
You know, now to say what I've heard about franchising in the past, and I've actually worked with preparing franchises, but you'll always hear that some people will say you don't need a franchise in grooming, and I always say that may be you, but there is no such thing as a blanket statement like that that's true, because based on experience I've had, some people really are more comfortable and confident because they have that backup, someone like you, that's helping them. What else? What would you say to someone else that would say something like, why would I do a franchise?
That's a great question. I appreciate you asking that, actually, because I agree with you 100%. Do I need a franchise? Here's just the same example. When I decided to franchise my company, could I have done it on my own? Sure. I could have done it, and I could have tried to figure it out along the way, and I could have probably spent a lot more money than I needed to spend in order to have the same maybe final result with absolutely no support in place when it was done. I had that choice when I chose to franchise my company, and instead of just going out and trying to find a franchise attorney that knows nothing about my industry to help me write an FDD, I chose to work with a consulting company because I felt more comfortable developing a relationship with somebody and still having them today in my back pocket if I need them for support, because they themselves have been through the similar things and have made mistakes, and their benefit to me was to help move me along in a process and minimize the risk and minimize the mistakes that I would make along the way. And that's why I agree with you that that is a very blanket statement. I could have franchised all on my own. I chose to work with a consulting company because I wanted ongoing training support. I wanted to be able to have that one-on-one with somebody versus just be out there trying to figure it out and possibly making mistakes or spending money where I didn't need to, and not knowing where to start. I help you all the way from the very beginning to even once you're launched and ongoing, I'm here. And that's my passion, is to be able to see other people succeed and help me spread the name. I mean, I really wanted to spread Paparazzi. I wanted to give that, I want that to be a household name. I want people to recognize that name everywhere people go. I mean, it's fun. And that's the reason I'm offering it to people, because I believe that they can have a lot of fun with it and stand out from a crowd. I have plenty of competition here where I'm located, and everybody knows who I am. And it's amazing. And it's, a lot of it was my marketing, and a lot of it is, you know, the approach that I've taken. And I like to share that with other people so they themselves can experience it too.
Since 1990, you know, my family, we decided to, my parents had the world's largest salon, and then my mother said, I don't need to write and help groomers on how to groom. It's the business side. And back in those days, you're talking 60s, there was nothing but a couple grooming books out there, no internet and all. But it came out with the book and really opened up as consultants in 1990. So I've now consulted with over 3,500 groomers, and I can tell you that half of them, where they had problems, was during their first startup years. They made a lot of mistakes, and they knew it. And that now it was all this trial and error. So the value of a franchise can be there to save a lot of money wasted through trial and error.
I
that's
agree.
That's what you were saying there. Yes.
Definitely. Just, you know, follow the system. The system's in place to help you. It's not here to hurt you. It works. And if you give it time and you know, you do exactly how the system is set up, you can't fail. You really can't. And that's what I, you know, I enjoy about it. I kind of wish, you know, there was times back when I've made decisions long, long time ago. It's like, wow, you know, that was really not a very smart decision I made. But moving forward, I learned a lot, and I wanted to be able to duplicate success, and I want other people to be able to duplicate it too. I mean, I had the option, you know, this is where I sat with my business. I'm at capacity, and I wanted to put another van in operation, or I wanted to franchise, and where did I want to put my money? And it made more business sense to give other people the opportunity to help me expand versus employ another individual, put another truck out there. I can duplicate this every single year if I wanted, but I really wanted to give other groomers the opportunity to help me expand and to be part of my team.
So, why do, you know, we've almost been on just short of an hour now. I need to get you to give people your contact information where they can contact you or find your website and things like that.
Sure. You want me to give the website?
Yes. Go ahead and give your whatever you want people to hear is your contact info. Go ahead, and I'll let you do that.
Okay. The website for Paparazzi is paparazzimobile.com. I'll spell it for you just in case some people don't know how to spell paparazzi. It's paparazzimobile.com. And on the website, there is a franchise section that talks about the opportunity a little bit, kind of tells you about your startup costs and things like that. It's under the franchise link if you're looking on a desktop. You can also send an email to me at service@paparazzimobile.com. My business line is 888-476-6625, or you can actually call my cell phone as well, 623-332-8116. Just if either way you miss me, please leave a voicemail and I will, reply back to you one way or the other and answer any questions you might have.
And people, you can also, if you lose that or any information at all, you can find a link on the homepage of petgroomer.com. That'll go right to the website too. So if lose it. It's always there at the, on the homepage of petgroomer.com. And I'm going to have to call into the show. We're getting right to the hour point coming up. This has been great to have you here, and we learned a lot of good information. I'm glad we had you aboard, and I hope you'll come back again sometime with us.
I would love to come back again. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, Tammy.
All right.
To everyone else listening, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have some other favorite returnees to the show. Christina Pulaski, a major, of course, groomer who doesn't hardly know of Christina Pulaski, but if you don't, Career Seekers, have a chance to one of the better-known multiple award-winning groomers will be with us on Sunday, January 17th of 2016. Mitzi Hicks, if you've ever thought of opening a grooming school and you want to have the assistance to open one, Mitzi Hicks, goldenpaws.com, will be with us on Saturday, January 23, and one of those sharpeners that has an answer for everything, does great writings and videos and everything. Most people know Jeff Andrews of Northern Tales. He's going to be with us on Sunday, January 24, 2016. And if you have any questions about repair, maintenance, he's going to be talking about some new clippers that are out there that a lot of people don't know about. He's even writing an article for our next PetGroomer.com magazine about these clippers. And he said there's going to be a lot of talk about them, so you might want to be on the show to listen to that. Or do you can ask questions live on our shows, but you can always listen to the recordings. He's real excited about these clippers, so it's going to be something to listen to. So our next show will be Sunday, January 17th, 1 week from today at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. We appreciate your joining us here today and look forward to seeing you visiting PetGroomer.com. Thank you.